Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Sunday, first class, November 19th, 2023, Romans.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. And in preparation to worship our Lord this morning, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And we thank you, Heavenly Father, for the preservation of the canon of Scripture, the eternal and absolute truth of your word, that spiritual food, that manna from heaven, that enables us to grow up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, that we might fulfill the very plan, will, and purpose that you have for each one of our lives. And as we assemble this morning to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name, amen. One thing before we get started in the class this morning, these were posted out on the glass doors, but that's only for people that can read. It's for you people early in the morning, I don't know. The next two weeks, classes will be Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. For the next 2 weeks, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Got it? We got something coming up Thursday. Turkey Day, Thanksgiving. The following week, we got a whole bunch of turkeys coming in here, working in the church here. So we have Turkey Day on next week, and then the turkeys come and their work day here. So the next 2 weeks, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. All right. Well, this is a great class. I've been looking forward to teaching this. Actually, this is a special Thanksgiving class. Romans 6, verse 17 starts out with, "But thanks be to God." In Rome, let's start the corrected translation at Romans 6, verse 15. "Therefore, what are we to conclude? Shall we sin because we are not under the Mosaic law but under grace? Meganoita, emphatically not. That's totally unthinkable." Verse 16. Do you not know that that one to whom you place yourselves under orders, under authority, as slaves for the purpose of obedience, you are slaves to that one whom you habitually obey? Either the sin nature resulting in death, the sin unto death, or the Lord Jesus Christ resulting in grace righteousness or spiritual maturity. Now in verse 16, the Apostle Paul gives the believer in Jesus Christ options. Options that you have in this Christian life. Option number one is, after salvation, you can make bad decisions to live by the lust patterns of the sin nature, entrapped in Satan's cosmic system. Or option number two, you can make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, advance to spiritual maturity, grace righteousness, and glorify God to the maximum. Verse 16 is the verse of options. At salvation, at that moment, we come to the cross and place our faith in Jesus Christ. At that very instant, the justice of God imputes to each one of us the righteousness of God. And that establishes a grace pipeline. And down that grace pipeline, at the moment of salvation, at that very second of faith in Christ, God sends down that grace pipeline 40 salvation blessings. That happens instantly. You don't even realize it's happened, but God sends 40 salvation blessings to you the very second of your faith in Christ. As you start growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you start learning about all those fantastic 40 salvation blessings. And as you learn that, well, every day becomes thanksgiving in your life. And you're giving thanks to God over all of these fantastic blessings. That happens instantaneously. Then, every single day, from that day of faith in Christ, that day of salvation, right up to today, every single day, God gives each one of us logistical grace, blessing, and support. And that logistical grace, blessing, and support is designed to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world so that we can make good decisions for God. Logistical grace, blessing, and support to every believer, no matter what kind of believer, baby believer, and of course when you first believe in Christ, you're a baby believer. You don't know anything about God or the plan of God or the will of God or the Word of God. You're ignorant on all those things. Only thing you know is what the sin nature's been teaching you for all of your life up to salvation. But now, God gives you, no matter whether you're a baby believer, adolescent believer, mature believer, whether you're a winner believer or a loser believer, whether you're in fellowship or out of fellowship, whether you're making good decisions or bad decisions, God gives you logistical grace, blessing, and support day after day, after day, after day. Temporal security. Why? He gives us that logistical grace, blessing, and support to keep us alive in the middle of the devil's world so we can grow up spiritually in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. so that we can make good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill, so we can advance to spiritual maturity, grace, righteousness, so that we can have virtue, love brought to completion in our heart, the ultimate objective of the spiritual life. And when that occurs, then God can send down this grace pipeline, greater grace blessings. Greater grace blessings for time and greater grace blessings awarded to you at the judgment seat of Christ that will glorify the Lord for all eternity. So, after salvation, what? At salvation, that's not the end. That's not the end. After salvation, that's the gun. The gun's gone off. You believe in Christ, you're saved, and now you begin a spiritual race. We're all in a spiritual race, a spiritual marathon that goes from salvation to physical death or the rapture, whichever occurs first. We are in this race. That's seen in 1 Corinthians 9:24 to 27, which we have studied many times. So we are here to what? We are here to make decisions. From that point of faith in Jesus Christ, salvation, you're born again, you're a brand new believer. From then until physical death of the rapture, we're here to make decisions. We have options now before our life. And that life that God has for us, it's a spiritual marathon. And the objective is to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, attain spiritual maturity, and glorify God to the maximum while we're here, right now, while we're here. And if you glorify God to the maximum while you're here living, and we're not here that long. We're here today, but we're gone tomorrow. But in that time, from salvation to physical death of the rapture, we are here to make decisions. Every day, every single day in your life, you have an opportunity to make decisions. So here we are. We're here in this life to make decisions. We have these options that have been given to us, as we see in verse 16. Every day we can make good decisions or we can make bad decisions. And that is what Romans 6 verse 16 is all about. So, options. There you go. Options. One. Every member of the human race. And how do we come into the world? We come into the world physically alive, but spiritually dead. We are unbelievers. We have a body and a soul, but we have no human spirit. We have no relationship with God. We have no fellowship with God. We come into the world as an unbeliever in spiritual death and total depravity. So every member of the human race, every unbeliever, has an option. And that option is regarding the living and true God, Jesus Christ. What do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? The greatest single decision you will ever make in your life is, what do you think about the Lord Jesus Christ? And I know you look, everything seems like the wheels are coming off the wagon all over the world, in America and all over the world. And every day I pray that in these times, that God would open the eyes of people all over the world to see Jesus Christ. To see Christ and to see and hear the grace gospel and have an opportunity to place their faith in Jesus Christ. So every member of the human race has an option regarding the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has, one, the option to believe in Christ, eternal salvation, or two, the option to reject Jesus Christ. So every member of the human race has an option. The unbeliever has an option regarding the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ. He has the option to believe in Jesus Christ for eternal salvation or to reject Jesus Christ. Point two. Every believer has an option. So at that moment that the individual places his faith in Jesus Christ, he is born again, he is now a member of the royal family of God. Every believer has an option as to whom you will place yourselves under orders and authority. And that's verse 16. One, either the sin nature, or two, the Lord Jesus Christ. So every believer has an option. After salvation, every believer has an option as to whom you will place yourselves under orders and under authority, either to the sin nature, and if you continue living under the authority and orders of the sin nature, it will eventually result in maximum divine discipline, the sin unto death. Or you can place yourselves under orders and authority to the Lord Jesus Christ, which will result in you attaining spiritual maturity and grace righteousness. So every believer has an option. Whom are you going to place yourselves under orders and authority? The sin nature resulting in death, or the Lord Jesus Christ resulting in grace righteousness? Three, every church age believer has the option. Every church age believer has the option to, one, live his life under the authority and control of the sin nature in Satan's cosmic system, or two, to live his life by the grace and the power of God in the spiritual life. So every church age believer has the option to, one, live his life under the authority and control of the sin nature in Satan's cosmic system, or to live his life by the grace and the power of God in the spiritual life. Four, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills will increase our options. When you make good decisions to live the spiritual life that God has for us by the spiritual skills, it will result in increasing our options. Increasing our options for the execution of the plan of God, the will of God, and to glorify God. So making those good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skills will result in increasing our options for executing the plan of God and the will of God and to glorify God. Five, living in the cosmic system, making bad decisions to live in the cosmic system under the control of the sin nature, that will destroy our options. We'll run out of options. Making bad decisions to live our life in the cosmic system under the control of the sin nature will destroy our options. We will run out of options. Divine options provided by the grace and power of God gives you the opportunity for fulfilling the grace plan of God for your life. 6, the filling of the Holy Spirit and consistent and faithful learning and believing the Word of God will increase your options. The filling of the Holy Spirit, the power to live the spiritual life, and consistently and faithfully learning and believing the Word of God will increase your options for a glorious life, for a very happy life on this earth. It will increase your options for a glorious life, a very happy life, a life where every day is Thanksgiving and every day is Christmas. 7. However, arrogance and living your life under the authority and control of the sin nature with its lust patterns will destroy your options. You will run out of options. However, arrogance and living your life under the authority and control of the sin nature with its lust patterns will destroy your options. You will run out of options. Eight. All the options of the spiritual life are related to your attitude toward God and toward the Word of God. All the options of the spiritual life are related to your attitude toward God and the Word of God. You have the option of where the light goes on. And that happens. I can think back when I was at the Bethany Bible Church and Pastor Ron Breckel was pastor there. He was one of the best pastors in the country. In fact, Colonel Thaim came up to me when I was down visiting at Barack and he said, "Dick, I want you to go back and you tell Ron Breckel, he's doing the best job of any pastor in the whole nation. You tell him that for me." I said, "Yes, sir, I will." And I love Pastor Breckel. But I love going to church, but I would go there on Sunday. I went when it was convenient. I was on the track team, so I thought, "Gee, I got a lot of responsibilities on the track team, and I'm taking a full load in all my classes." And so I kind of went to Bible class when it was convenient. But I was giving the grace gospel out all over campus. I was working with Campus Crusade for Christ and the four spiritual laws. And I don't know how many four spiritual laws I gave. I gave it to everybody I saw. Sat down with them. Go through the four spiritual laws, give the grace gospel. And as I'm doing that, I would go through the four spiritual laws and then the unbeliever would come back and ask me a question. And I didn't know the answer. So I'd immediately go over to Bethany Bible Church and said, "Ron, I was giving the gospel to this fellow on campus, and I said this, and he said that, and I said this, he said that, and I didn't know the answer." And so he very patiently took his Bible and opened it up and showed me where the answer was. Well, a couple days later, I'm back the same. "Ron, I was giving the gospel to this guy on church, on campus, and I said this, and he said that, and I didn't know the answer." And he smiled and opened up his Bible and showed me the answer. Well, after about the fourth or fifth time of me doing this, he turned to me and he says, Dick, can't you tell what God's trying to tell you? I said, well, I'm Norwegian, you know. He's trying to tell you, you need Bible doctrine. Everything, every question you have asked me, I have taught in class, but you weren't there. The light went on. I said, that's exactly what God's trying to tell me. He said, hey, dummy, get in class and learn what the Word of God says. You need God's Word. You need Bible doctrine. I said, Pastor Breckel, you are 100% right. That's exactly what God's trying to tell me. And the light went on, and well, I had a free will. I thought I was too busy at this and too busy at that and too busy something else and too busy with the track team and too busy with my full load on campus. No. I realized God brought me to Washington State University. And how about Washington State University? Woo! Against Colorado. Before that game, I told my sons and anybody who listened, Colorado will kill Washington State. Washington State killed Colorado. I thought, I mean, I had to keep going. That's the best game I've seen Washington State play in 100 years. And how about the Air Force and UNLV? I didn't think that was ever going to happen either. And you know that this was spiritual intervention. This was divine intervention. You know that when, on fourth down and 15 or 16, the punter is going to kick the ball, and instead he throws it. The punter throws to a guy who's never caught a pass in his life for a first down. The Lord really loved UNLV in that game. Well, I had the option. I could make good decisions to be there, but I hadn't. And I kept asking Pastor Breckel again and again and again. And then he said, Dick, I have covered all these things that you're asking questions about. God's telling you you need Bible doctrine. And he was 100% right. And the light went on, and that was it. I was in class, every single class. And Pastor Breckel taught all week long. And that's when I started growing up in the grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now you have a free will, you have a volition. You are here, you're here on this life after salvation to make decisions. You can make good decisions, you can make bad decisions. But all the options of the spiritual life are related to your attitude toward God and His Word. And you are free somewhere along the line, all of a sudden the light will go on like it did with me. And assign God and His Word as number one priority. And you will be consistent and faithful in assembling in that sound doctrinal teaching church to grow up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. The God-breathed scriptures are the key to our relationship to the living and true God, the Lord Jesus Christ on this earth. 9. Since the day you were born again, salvation, through faith in Christ, God has provided options and solutions for everything that you will ever face in life. Since the day you were born again, salvation through faith in Jesus Christ, God has provided options and solutions for everything that you will ever face in life. You have choices every single day. Options that are constantly open to you. You can make choices any day to stop living the spiritual life and instead live your life under the control of the sin nature. But if you do that, there's no guarantee you're going to recover. 10. When you place yourselves under orders to the sin nature, he controls your life. He now controls your life by the lust patterns of the sin nature and the sin, human good and evil, the trends of the sin nature, and through operating and living your life through the power and authority of the sin nature, you make yourself a loser believer. When you place yourself under orders to the sin nature and he controls your life, you make yourself a loser believer. Turn over to 2 John. 2 John. On Thursday night, we're in 1 John. When we finish 1 John, we're going to be in 2 John. When we finish 2 John, we're going to be in 3 John. When we finish 3 John, we're going to 4 John. All right. You are right on it. There is no 4 John. That's why they're laughing. Okay. 2 John, verse 8. Watch out. Beware that you do not lose what you have worked for, but that you may be rewarded fully. Verse 9. Anyone who runs ahead, you see, God loved track and field. I haven't seen one passage anywhere on soccer in the Bible. But he loved track and field. Anyone who runs ahead and does not continue in the teaching of Christ. Now, what does that mean, run ahead? Well, let's take a football example, since there were a lot of great football games this weekend. If there's a playing field, you have to run on the playing field to get a touchdown. You can't run out of bounds. It's easy. You could run the whole way out of bounds, but you don't get a touchdown. And that's the illustration here. There's a lot of believers who do a lot of running, but they're running out of bounds, and they don't accomplish anything. You have to run within the playing field. What's the playing field? Living the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Anyone who runs ahead, who runs out of bounds, and doesn't continue in what? The teaching of Christ. When you don't continue in the teaching of the God-breathed scriptures, the Word of God, you're running out of bounds. You're running out of bounds. So anyone who runs ahead, runs out of bounds, and does not continue in the teaching of Christ, he does not have God. That he does not have fellowship with God. He's out of fellowship with God. But whoever continues in the teaching of the God-breathed scriptures, he has both the Father and the Son. He has fellowship with both the Father and the Son. So when you place yourselves under order to the sin nature, he controls your life, and you make yourself a loser believer, you're running out of bounds. And you're no longer concentrating on the God-breathed scriptures. Point 10. When you place yourselves under order to the sin nature, he controls your life. 11. All personal sin and living in Satan's cosmic system is a matter of your personal choice, your own decisions. All personal sin and living in Satan's cosmic system is a matter of personal choice. And if you continue, you make yourself, nobody else does it, by your own bad decisions, you make yourself a Christian loser. Now, where do I get this term, Christian loser or winner? A believer who is a loser or a believer who is a winner? Turn over to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation chapter 2. In Revelation 2:26, we have a substantival participle. Ha nikon. There's the definite article. And this is N-I-K long O-N. Ha nikon. Comes from the verb nikao. The verb nikao means to be the victor, to be a winner. We get our, anybody that, athletic apparel? Nike. Nike has all these shoes. A lot of fellows on the track team at the Wazoo, we had Nike track shoes. And Nike means the victor. The victor, the winner. And that's what ha nikon means. From nikao, to be victorious, to be the victor, to be a winner. So ha nikon, literally, the best way to translate ha nikon is the winner. Now, the translation that you have in a lot of your Bibles doesn't make any sense to me anyway. To he who overcomes, and I've heard this, the overcomer. Are you an overcomer? I try not to be, but see, a pastor, when he's teaching it, there are those whose mind is thinking divine viewpoint. And there's those whose mind are so far in the gutter, it's hard to get them out. This really says to the winner believer, who does my will to the end, I will give authority over the nations. The winner believer. That's the believer who makes good decisions in his life. Day after day after day makes good decisions in his life. Good decisions to live the spiritual life by the spiritual skill. Good decisions for God and for the Word of God. He's the winner believer. But when you use your free will to make bad decisions, to live by your sin nature and Satan's cosmic system, you make yourself a loser believer. The Christian loser believer has many options to stop and become a winner believer. He has many options. First of all, problem-solving device number one, 1 John 1:9, rebound. If we acknowledge our sins to God, He, God, is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So, that Christian loser has many options. And the first one, to stop being a loser and start being a winner, is the option of rebound. 1 John 1:9. And then secondly, the option of repentance, metanoel, to change your thinking. You have a free will. You can change your thinking. You can change from negative volition to positive volition. You can change from arrogance to humility. You can now show respect for God and for the Word of God and for the pastor who teaches the Word of God. So you have many options to become a winner. Rebound, repentance, changing your thinking from negative volition to positive volition, from arrogance to humility. For God has provided in grace many options for becoming a winner believer. However, the Christian loser makes bad decisions from a position of weakness, putting himself under the orders to the sin nature, rather than good decisions from a position of strength, the filling of the Spirit, and the Word of God in his heart. The position of weakness, the sin nature in the cosmic system, results in wrong choices. The position of strength, the filling of the Spirit and the Word of God in your heart, results in right choices. The Christian loser takes all the wrong turns and exercises all the wrong options, and therefore he fails to execute God's plan, will, and purpose for his life. Options are available to the Christian loser, but far too often he makes wrong decisions. You always have options no matter how bad the situation. 12. Sin is always the choice of your own volition. Sin is always the choice of your own volition, even if you did not know that it was a sin. And sin results in loss of the filling of the Spirit, loss of the spiritual life, loss of fellowship with God. No filling of the Spirit and no teaching ministry of the Spirit means no spiritual life. And that means you are vulnerable. Vulnerable to every failure to which an unbeliever is vulnerable. And because you are royal family of God, with the greatest options in the whole world, you will make yourself a very miserable person on planet Earth. You will think and act just like an unbeliever. Even though you have placed your faith in Christ, from your own bad decisions, you will think and act like an unbeliever and be full of regrets at the end of your life. You won't lose your salvation, that's impossible. But you will go from warning discipline to intensive discipline to dying discipline. And when you are standing at the judgment seat of Christ, before Jesus Christ, you will be ashamed before him at the judgment seat of Christ. You see, we're here after salvation to make decisions. We are here every day. You have an opportunity to make decisions every day. Decisions for God, decisions for the Word of God, or decisions against God and His Word. All right. Well, we'll take our break here and come back for part 2.